It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to the 10 o'clock hour. Money Matters here. WSB Radio. Wes Moss here, your host, every Sunday morning to take your calls and your questions. Today we're talking North Korea. We're talking about what's happening in the world. Economic history lesson on markets. Bad things happen. Crises happen. And we recover. Stocks shake, but they do not break when it comes to these geopolitical scary events that we've all remember so well and know so well through economic history. JFK assassinated, Pearl Harbor, 1987 stock market crash, Iraq invades Kuwait, Soros breaks the bank in England, of England. The USS Cole in Yemen bombing, 9/11 terror attacks, Bear Stearns collapses, all of these events that hit us on the day of. 6 months later, historically, markets are significantly better. We heal quickly. Markets heal quickly from these issues. And that's what we are talking about here. The focus today on Money Matters is that we get through these times of fear and we come through on the other side, typically much stronger. What really gets us, though, it's not something like a North Korea situation. It's not the Cuban Missile Crisis, the months leading up to that. It is, and where you see markets really break or lose their shine has to do not with a geopolitical event, but an actual recession. And I want to go to those into those numbers in just a moment. I also want to open up the phone lines for this 10 o'clock hour and answer your questions that relate, whether they relate to this or that it's completely separate and it's dealing with your real estate or you're getting ready to retire. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about I wrote about the three mistakes of unhappy retirees. We had a call in the 9 o'clock hour who, I believe it was Amy who was asking, her financial planner was saying, hey, look, you need to figure out what you're spending. There's a lot of different things to think about, and I wanted to, and what we need to talk about is this rich ratio where you divide your have by your need. And if you can simply do that in financial planning, then you end up with a scenario that's very comfortable with very little worries when you are finally stopped completely working. And we'll do that in this hour just as a quick primer to remember how to calculate that have versus need. You can do a 100-page financial plan all you want, model in inflation, model in spending, model in inflation of spending, model in your rates of return, market corrections, what you're saving today. But really comes back to just a pretty simple ratio of what your guaranteed income sources are going to be, as a very a conservative number of withdrawal from your financial war chest that you've saved, and then divide that by what your monthly spending is adjusted for taxes. And that's it. It's that simple. So the mechanics of getting those numbers right might not be easy, but the formula and how to think it through is something that can be very powerful and get you to a point where you're confident about the situation that you'll face when you are 64, 66, or 68, when you fully stop working, or if you're an early retiree in your late 50s. So that's what we're here to help with on Sunday mornings, and it's so much fun to do that, and it's so great to be with you here on a Sunday morning. So if your questions relate back to 401k, IRA, pension questions, hey, Wes, I've got this pension offer. They're trying to get me to retire a little bit earlier than I may have wanted to at work. And I'm not quite sure if my wife and I are ready for this or my husband and I are ready for this. And I just want to see what those numbers might look like. And what are some of the things I'm not thinking about? Like the call we just had, were we thinking about taxes and were we thinking about savings as part of the budget and the mortgage as part of the budget? Those are the things that really, really matter and add up. And if you're maybe you're just missing something that should be a part of the equation and you're not factoring it in, let's talk that through and see if I can set you on the right path and in a path where you feel really comfortable as you're headed into making all these big decisions in retirement. So if you're sitting around the kitchen or just driving in the car and you've got a couple of minutes to give us a call here in the studio, we're happy to take your questions. The number 404-872-0750. Again, it's 404-872-0750. Or if you're out of state and you're Texas, California, Washington, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Ryan Ely ready here as producer and takes our calls and patches those calls through. Very often we'll get questions that relate back to investment products. Hey, I'm about to do this, a new mutual fund or new investment idea that I've been proposed. I'm ready to invest in this land or this house or this project or this REIT, this real estate investment trust or this annuity. Or I'm trying to figure out how to get from mutual funds back to into ETFs, low-cost ETFs. Is that the right move? And I'm paying this for this program that I'm in. Is that too much, Wes? Hey, man, am I paying too much for this thing or is this appropriate? What am I getting a raw deal or not? And I'm here to really try to give you the most objective advice that you're going to find anywhere online or if you listen via podcast. To Wes Moss Money Matters. So calls are the best part, the most fun part about our show. Again, the phone line's open, and we'll go to the phones here in just a minute. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Ryan, where are we headed here? We're headed to Sandy, who joins us from Athens. Sandy, what's going on? How can I help you?
About 4 years ago, I was getting ready to retire, and I pulled out about half of our investments and put it in a money market because I didn't know if we were going to need to touch it, and I didn't know if I would have I didn't want to bank on the market staying really strong. So now that the market is strong, and I've retired, and I'm fine. I don't feel like we're going to need to pull out of anything anytime soon. What would be the best way for me to get this back in the market so that I'm still making good money?
Okay, so a couple of pieces of information that you gave me, I think, are really, really important for this conversation. Is that so? Let's say that the half that's invested, Sandy, that half in itself, that is producing enough on top of your Social Security and on top. Do you guys have a pension, by the way?
We both have a pension, and we have a very good pension. We've been putting in it for, well, since we've been working. So unless there's something major that happens, I don't really foresee us pulling out of our investments for a while.
Okay, so the pension then, Sandy, that plus Social Security, are you guys already getting Social Security too?
No. I retired at 52. I started teaching when I was 52, and I retired early.
You started teaching when you're 19, and you retired at 55.
No, I started teaching when I was 22.
22. I was close enough. Okay.
So I retired when I was 52.
So that's you're blessed with a pension. You worked for it. You earned it. And that on top of a little now. I guess here's the real question, and this goes back to, do you get this other money back into the market, Sandy? Is that, are you guys fine on, how much are you withdrawing from the half that is invested?
We're not drawing anything from our investments.
Do you foresee ever having to, or is it literally just your cushion money?
I don't see us having to. It's just one of those that maybe one day when we need help taking care of us, you know, for assisted living or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Sandy, I would look at it this way. I mean, you're still so young, and you've got, I think a lot of times we think as retirees think that, hey, I'm retired now, Wes, I don't have enough time. And I understand that we are very often counting down until the day we retire, and we want to make sure that we are conservative enough or balanced enough when we get to that point that we don't have a market correction and throw off our entire financial plan. I get that, and that is true. We want to make sure you don't get too extended or too vulnerable when you get close to retirement. But it doesn't mean that you now all of a sudden have a time horizon of zero. You've got a time horizon of 40 years, right? Let's call it 30 plus years. And the deal is on that is that you've got to remember that because you have so much time, you should be in equity. So I go back to, you should be in stocks, even though stocks are priced at a relatively high, historically, relative to what stocks are earning. Let's call them fully valued. I'm not going to say they're overvalued at this point, Sandy.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Do I wait till the market has some kind of self-correct and then put my... I just look at how much my stocks are making that are invested, and then I have all this money in the
money market that's not
making anything. But if I put it back in now, I'm not really buying that many shares because the market is so good.
Well, it is. So, and that is the quandary I think that everybody's in today. You'll never get an answer if you're looking to figure it out and you're looking over the next 6 months or a year, because it's impossible. You're wrong. If you don't do it and market goes up, you're wrong. If you don't do it and the market goes down, then you still say, well, stocks could keep going lower, so I'm going to continue to wait. And then they rocket back up and then you missed it again.
Right.
So the only way to really do it is understand that you've got time, and as long as you're in still high quality company. So I look at a dividend, I look at an ETF, so a basket of companies like Vanguard's Dividend Appreciation ETF or the Standard & Poor's Dividend ETF that has companies that have paid dividends for at least 20 years, Sandy.
Right.
And if they've missed one beat, they're kicked out. Right. So you look at a company like that, or a basket of these companies, or a whole group of them, they've gone through good times and they've made it through really bad times. And they've still been able to ratchet up what they pay out to shareholders. And dividends don't lie. So these companies have been able to figure out a way to get through any economic cycle, even if we go into recession. So I look at this and I look at the 15-50 stock rule. That means that if you think you have 15 years more of life to live on this earth, and arguably you have way more than that, Sandy, then you should have at least 50% of your money in stock. So if you've got the other half, if you've only got a quarter in stocks because half of all your money is already in cash, the other half is maybe stocks and bonds, then I would look at it from a ratio perspective, Sandy, and say, I want to have at least half of my stocks invested. You don't have to do it all today, but you have to get some sort of plan and mechanism in place to get it done. So you take the amount you need, let's say it's another 100,000 that needs to get invested to get to that 50%, and you do half of it this month, and you spread out the other half over the course of the rest of the next 6 to 12 months. That way, at least you have an action plan and you can get and you will get it done. That's the best way I've seen anyone be able to do it. Listening to Money Matters, quick break, then back here. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Today, programming note here, 1 to 3, Alan Sanders hosting live talk show. He's going to take your calls about all the protests and the craziness and the violence in Charlottesville. He's also going to be talking about North Korea, all the, again, craziness happening with that. So Alan Sanders today, live from 1 until 3, right here on WSB Radio. We're going to go to the phones here. By the way, you've tuned in to Money Matters. Where are we headed here? Ryan Ely, Carl joins us on the line. Carl, what's going on? How can I help?
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. What's going on, man?
So I'm at this dilemma now, and I just need some guidance. 20 years ago, I actually invested. I had a very risky high risk profile. I invested in a lot of stocks, and I was just more of a risky type guy. Now that 20 years later, I'm in my low 50s. I'm like trying to say, how do I move? I invest some of the companies I was at, you know, like Apple and Google, tremendous returns. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, now I'd like to take some of these monies out.
Ah.
More in an income type of vehicle. But I just don't want this huge tax event. And I don't know.
Hey, Carl, hang on one sec. Carl, we got to go a quick break. Great question. Important, because you got to worry about taxes and future returns. One, we can control. Two, not so much, but hang on the line. I'm going to answer your question when we get back from break.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. An awful lot to do in a short period of time. Really, very quick programming note today. From 1 to 3, Alan Sanders on live today right here on WSB Radio. Talking about the protests and the craziness and the violence in Charlottesville yesterday. And, of course, what's happening with North Korea. Any breaking or any developments with that. Tune in today. Alan Sanders live from 1 to 3 today right here on WSB Radio. Let's go back to the phones here. Let me go back to Carl who joins us. Carl, are you still there, my friend?
Yes, I'm still here.
And you, thanks for obviously for hanging on a minute. And you have a question that is, let me catch our listeners up to speed. Back when you were younger, back in your, let's say your early investing days, you were a lot riskier and you had a bunch of individual companies. And some of them have become a pretty big part of your portfolio today because they've done really well. And now you're in your 50s and you're like, wait a minute. Am I taking on too much risk? Do I sell some of these companies? But then I'm worried about my tax bill in order to do so. What are some of the companies? And just give me a little bit more context around your question, and I'll try to give you my best answer.
Yeah, so what some of the companies I mentioned before is like Apple and Google. But the thing is now I'm just trying to, as I'm getting older, I'm like saying, okay, I don't want to be as risky. So I want to put in other financial vehicles. I'm not trying to take the money out. I'm just trying to put in a different financial vehicle. But then I'm just hesitant to do anything because I just don't want this huge tax effect, make it a taxable event, when I'm really not doing anything with the money. And I don't know any way around that.
Oh, you're saying, look, basically I'm staying invested. I'm just going from, let's say, a stock that's done well to another ETF that's maybe more diversified, but I don't want to do it because one of my main hesitations is the 20% tax bill. Let me ask, so this is probably a really important time to talk about that for just a second. And we're always faced with that challenge. You buy something, whether it's a piece of property or it's a stock and it goes up and it's done well for you. And then you think, wait a minute, now I've got to sell it or I want to sell it. Now I get penalized to do so, or I get a tax on my gain, of course, capital gain. There's short-term capital gain and there is long-term capital gain. And long-term, I think it's actually a little more confusing for folks because there's multiple different rates on long-term capital gain. What tax bracket are you in, just ordinary income, Carl? Because I'm that actually, matters. That matters.
Okay, so I'm actually, I mean, the actual percent, I don't know, our household income is a little over $250,000. So I'm not sure if that's the...
Okay, so let me, so if that is married, if you're with, if you're married, let's say...
Yes.
The if you are, you're probably just over, so up to about 200, and this is for 20, these are 2017 numbers. So when you get to about 233,000, you are at the very upper end of the 28% tax bracket. But so again, that means you pay 28% on interest. You pay 28% on short-term capital gains. You pay up to your ordinary income tax rate. But your long-term capital gain rate is lower than that. So your long-term capital gain rate is 15%, if that's the bracket that you're in. So that's the it's important to understand what our tax bracket is for long-term capital gain. It's not quite as punitive or as bad as what we're used to seeing on our paycheck. So we pay a much higher percentage on our wages. The other thing that probably nabs you guys right now is that you're just over the additional capital gain taxes that came along with the Obamacare or the healthcare legislation several years ago. And there's an additional 3.8% tax on that investment income if married couples are making over $250,000. So your standard, and this is why it's a little bit confusing, is that capital gain tax rates can be super low. If you manage to be in the 15% tax bracket or the 10% tax bracket or lower. So effectively 15% or lower, Carl, your long-term capital gain rate is actually zero.
Okay.
It's zero. Now, that's not where you are, and it doesn't mean that you could sell $1 million worth of an appreciated stock and not pay taxes, because the gain itself will impact your tax bracket. So there's only so much room and so much runway you'll get with that zero rate, and that gets more complicated with your CPA. But from what I can tell, you're kind of right there in the 28% range. You're probably going to pay the 15. And then from what you're telling me, you probably have the additional 3.8. So you're probably at around that 18 to 19% clip. So okay. It's a significant tax, but it's significantly lower than your ordinary income tax rates that you're used to. So I think that's kind of the first thing to really understand. When you're ready to make a sale, an appreciated stock, you've held it for a long time, the long-term capital gain rates are not as bad as most of the other tax rates we're used to. And I think that's an important distinction. The other thought here is that if you've had a bunch of good stocks over the years, I'm sure you've had a few that have not done so well. Have you already taken some of those losing positions and sold them and taken a loss that could potentially offset some of these gains?
I have sold most of them. Most if not all of them I have sold.
So you don't really have anything else trading at a loss?
Not at this point.
Okay. And this is all money that's not inside an IRA, correct? This is all this is all after tax money.
Correct.
Well, it's unavoidable to some extent unless you have something else to offset it. If you have other losses, that's one of the main answers to this question if you have any sort of other assets in another realm that have had, that you're in a losing position, you can offset some of these long-term capital gains. The other question is do you really have are you far over allocated? Are you highly and disproportionately allocated to these companies or not? So are we talking 50% of what you have, or are we talking 10 or 15%?
So in these particular funds, it's probably around 15 to 20%.
Okay. I would tell you that I know that. So the general rule of thumb planning, we'll say that about 10% is about as high as you want to be, right? You've probably heard that. No more than 10% in any one given stock. But there's some room in that rule. Again, rules of thumb are just that. They're meant to be a guidepost. So if you're 10 or 15% in a particular company, or even a little bit higher than that, and it's a super high quality company, there are companies that even though I might have, my percentage might start to get to push up on that, I'm still okay with going a little past the 10%, because my time horizon on good companies, it could be forever. I want my time horizon, Carl, to be forever. So right. Just because you're bumping up against some of those percentages, if the companies you own are still really high quality and they're still doing what they're supposed to be doing and they're still pushing forward, then again, to me, I'm okay with holding that kind of company. What you could do, and if you're still a ways out from retirement, a lot of retirees, I'll say, look, wait till you're in a lower bracket. And that's why I brought up these tax rates. I'll say, okay, next year you're going to drop from the 25% bracket down to the 15 because you're in retirement. Then at that point, you have a potentially zero tax rate, and then you can make some of these adjustments for no tax. So, okay. You know, that's another thing to think about, is that very often when we get to retirement, our income goes way down, our tax bracket goes way down, and then our capital gain rate, the tax we have to pay on our capital gains, that can go from 15, in your case, closer to 19 because of this additional surcharge, can go all the way down to zero. So think about that. Don't get too nervous if you're 10 or 15%. In a couple of really good companies, because they've done well, if they're great companies, doesn't necessarily mean you don't continue to hold them. But I think that there is, there's a lot we talked about today for you to consider when it comes to diversification and taxes. Ryan Ealy, we've got a weekend prize pack, and I don't know if we want to do that right now or do you want to wait till our next segment? That's up to you.
We are ready to go. The WSB weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to Donald Fagen on August 16th at Atlanta Symphony Hall. The trivia question, can you tell me what band Donald Fagen is known for?
I'm glad that I'm not in the running for this prize pack because I have no idea on this one.
It actually stumped me too. I think that's why it's such a good question.
404-741-0750, the prize line, 404-741-0750. Before we come to the end of the segment today, I wanted to just get to this Rich Ratio. I did a quick video about this just this week and wanted to bring it up again on the air today. And if you haven't seen the video or you missed this, you can go to our Facebook page, Wes Moss Money Matters, and the video about this Rich Ratio is right there on the Facebook page. And of course, you can listen to Money Matters as a podcast, and you can that way you can play it extra fast or extra slow. You can listen without some commercials and things like that. And just go to iTunes to do that. So if you go to iTunes or really any of the podcast apps, go to iTunes and look for Wes Moss Money Matters, and you can subscribe to the podcast. If you have listened to Money Matters via podcasts, or if you're just a regular listener via radio, which I'm so appreciative of, I would be extraordinarily appreciative for reviews on iTunes. It's something that we don't talk about a whole lot, but I would like to remind you, if you're a listener to the show or the podcast, please leave a review on iTunes. Highly appreciated for those reviews. Good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, but we appreciate it and thank you. Quickly on Rich Ratio. Again, this stems from a call earlier today and it's something I've been talking about lately. It's a pretty simple way to do planning, and it's all of this is about. And this is what unhappy retirees have a rich ratio under one, because this is just the amount of money that you have in relation to the amount of money you need. And you do want to do this with after-tax money. But easy to calculate. You simply take the amount of your monthly income that you should have or you're going to have from Social Security and maybe a pension and any other additional streams of income, maybe it's rental income, including what your nest egg should produce. So you put all the income together and you're going to take between 4% and 5% withdrawal rate from your investment nest egg. And that's your half. And then you simply divide it by your monthly need. So you've got your monthly money coming in divided by your monthly need. And if you have a rich ratio that is under one, that means that you have more need every single month. So you're running a deficit. If your rich ratio is over one, if you do that math, then you always have a surplus. And that's the way you, of course, want to head into retirement. So it's a lot simpler to do this and understand your cash flow relative to a 50 or 100 page financial plan. And it's something that can be easily calculated. So I did an entire session on that on our Facebook page, Wes Moss Money Matters, with charts and magic markers and the like. So good morning. You've tuned into Money Matters. We're going to go quick news, weather, traffic, then come back here on the air. You're listening to News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Well, I've kicked around a lot since high. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Answer Steely Dan today for the weekend prize pack. Penny in Snellville wins our weekend WSB McDonald's weekend WSB weekend prize pack. It's just the WSB weekend prize pack now. So really, the topic, of course, today, where the real fear is coming from is that we don't know where we're headed with North Korea. We're not, as a nation, afraid of North Korea because we know we can handle them probably over a not even a long weekend. It's the other ramifications that go beyond that. It's what is China doing? Is China just using North Korea as a pawn to further gain power? These are the worries that we really have. We also have to remember, and we took a lesson from economic history today and market history, that yes, these geopolitical events, standoffs, whether they are the start of a war, some sort of major banking crisis, some sort of terror attack, any of these things and all of these items, we call these geopolitical or historical market events. Yes, they do. They rock markets and they shake markets. We've already started to see a little bit of that this week with markets down 1-1.5% on the week as the rhetoric has risen on North Korea. But we also have to remember that if you look at, and I took 18 of the biggest, most impactful one-day events, from Germany invading France to major bankruptcies to wars to terror attacks, September 11th, we see an average withdrawal or hit to the market in a very short period of time of about 3%. 6 months later, on average, markets are up 2%. Another 6 months out or a year later, trading-wise, from trading days, markets up 1.9 or almost 2%. So we recover, no matter how bad these geopolitical events are, we recover in significant fashion. The real question is a recession. That's when we end up with a real flat tire. We don't see that coming anytime soon. The economic numbers right now, at least for the next 6 months, are just too strong for that. With that, if you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. WesMoss.com, the website, those emails and the contact come right to me and the Money Matters team again at WesMoss.com. WESMOSS. We're right here in Atlanta. Happy to talk with you throughout the week. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful weekend. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.